Oh, happy Monday, everyone, and welcome to my show where it really is okay to not be okay. I'm Ray Bonney, a qualified counsellor, workplace mental health specialist, not to mention a very dedicated and oftentimes enthusiastically disruptive men's issues advocate. Not every girl's dream job, but hey, remember that men also matter. As always, I'll be unwrapping one of the greatest gifts going around, and that is people. Layer by layer, we explore the thoughts, experiences, achievements, and challenges of ordinary people bound to inspire the best you, and at the same time, acknowledging that it really is okay to not be okay. So turn up your radio. 11-year-old Izella Connolly. She's a vibrant acting, singing, and dancing artist from the sunny shores of Queensland's Gold Coast. Now that's a mouthful for a Monday, isn't it? But back in 2016 and 17, she played the role of Matilda in the multi-award-winning Matilda the Musical, a production of the Royal Shakespeare Company. Widely regarded as the most challenging children's role in musical theatre, she did more than 80 performances in Brisbane, Perth, Adelaide, and New Zealand, earning numerous accolades along the way. And in 2016, Izella played Gretel in the London Palladium production of The Sound of Music and the role of Gracie Shin in the Queensland Musical Theatre's production of The Music Man back in 2015. Izella also portrayed Arun, the king's children, or one of the king's children, not all of them, in the opera Australia's 2014 production of The King and I, where she performed alongside our very own Lisa McCune and Teddy Tahu Rhodes. Izella was contracted also with Universal Studio Japan in Osaka for their annual Christmas spectacular just this year. Without straying too far from her glittering career as a theatrical actor, in collaboration with some of the world's best producers and writers, Izella found time to unleash her debut music single called Unbeatable. And guess what? She's only 11. On the line with me right now, please welcome to the show Izella Connolly. Yay, Izella, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I really wish you were in the studio with me. But you've actually skipped out of school, haven't you, to have a chat with us here at 3?
Yeah, I have, yeah.
So what class did I get you out of?
Oh, math and something else. Yes, something else, math and something else, so that's pretty good.
Well, being a not big fan of maths myself, that resonates very well with me, but we can maybe do a bit of maths on the show to make up for it. We actually have we have about 50 minutes of chat time, so we can do the countdown. Now, you're not all that new to the world of showbiz. I mean, here at 3WBC, it is all showbiz. But you, how old were you when you knew that showbiz was going to be your thing?
Well, I always knew that I wanted to be a singer or someone that performed on stage. I think I knew that it was going, like, I really wanted to happen when I was, I would say, actually 2 years old.
Wow.
Two, three and a half.
Mm.
Yeah.
Do you remember what was the thing that really grabbed your attention?
Well, I just remember, I don't think then, I knew who Katy Perry was, which was a big thing for me. That was when everyone was talking about it, like, oh, yeah, Katy Perry, when I was in, like, kindergarten and stuff. And then I, like, since I was little, I've always wanted to be, like, a singer, and I knew, like, from inside, like, I was going to do it. So that, like, myself and also Katy Perry kind of brought me into, like, inspired me to do it.
Wow. I didn't even really know who Katy Perry was. And when you sang Katy Perry, back in my day, it was Marsha from the Brady Bunch. So we have a few generations between us. However, when it comes to singing and dancing and performing, the joy that it brings to people, it's been around since the dawn of time. And, you know, it's always very thrilling to speak to somebody like you who describes from a very early age of just knowing that that's in your blood.
Yeah.
Which is great. Somebody said to me the other day, it's always great when you know what you want to do. And then the other contingent, we just make it up as we go along. But I was speaking to one of your greatest fans last night. Do you know who that might be?
Uh, No.
Well, it's actually your dad, Mr. Connolly.
My greatest fan.
Well, he could not stop talking about you at all. Really? And I'm not surprised, because some of the things he told me, no doubt your parents and your entire family and all the people around you must be incredibly proud of you. But he was very kind in sharing with me a lot of the amazing Izella Connolly moments, including one when you were about 2.5 years old. You're probably quite familiar with it, but would you like me to share this with some of our guests?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, hang out just a little bit. Just listen, this is 2.5 years old with a guitar, people that can't see. Here's Izella with a guitar and a voice. Here we go.
Every gentleman man colour twag song.
And there you have it. That was Jelly Beans. Now, I wasn't going to play that whole thing, Izella, but you seem to really, really pick it up there towards the end, getting quite angry, it seemed, about people not cleaning their teeth.
Yeah.
It was 2.5 years old. The fact that you could remember all of those lyrics is pretty amazing. But yellow, the word yellow, I think you've improved on that.
Yeah. But well, I actually made those lyrics up on the spot.
Did you?
Yeah.
Complete impro.
Yeah, it was improvisation. I just made it up as I went.
Wow. You should sell that. No, I was really impressed and very, very amused as well, because I think that, given that you can, well, I thought you'd memorized it, but you've made it up on the spot. It takes me to 2016 and 2017 when you did play the role of Matilda in the multi-award winning Matilda the Musical. Something like 84 times, is that right?
Yeah, I performed 84 times.
What was that like?
Well, to be honest, it was actually never tiring. I never, ever got bored of the show. Within a year and a half of doing it, I would do it 2 times a week, but sometimes if, for example, a girl got sick or something, you would do it maybe 3 times a week or 4. But I never got bored of the show. There was always something new. It was never the same thing over and over again. The show would always be different. Like, one, like, you would maybe say a line differently, like not wrong, but like differently, and it would never get tiring.
Mm.
Yeah.
Do you know, you've covered off on my first 3 questions, so well done. I think we're reading each other's mind already, because I said my questions were, did you ever get bored? Tick. Did you ever get tired? So how long would a performance go for?
2 hours and 20 minutes.
Wow. And you mentioned other girls as well. So how many Matildas were there?
There's four Matildas.
So,
because, including me.
Okay, so are they all first string, or do you have backup Matildas as well?
No, there's just those four
mm-hmm.
Matildas. Yeah, so me and three other girls.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just us.
You mentioned a time when one of the Matildas got sick. Did you have to fill in?
Yeah, well, there's the standby as well.
Yes.
So you have, for example, two shows a week or maybe four, three or five summers or something. There's a lot of standbys. I did over 100. And Annabella once, well, one of the Matildas, she once got sick.
Yeah.
And then I was on standby, and then the director came and was like, okay, let's go do, like, the scene. It's called Playground, that scene. And then I'm like, okay, so I just thought we're having maybe a little rehearsal. And then I'm like, okay, where should we start from? And then she's like, no, on stage. And I'm like, aren't they performing there? And she's like, exactly. And I'm like, am I going on? So then we had to, there was, like, more than five people around me trying to get, like, my hair perfect, like, my mic, testing out stuff, my costume all prepared. And then I had to quickly rush on stage with the books. And then from the audience, I could just hear, like, that's a different Matilda, because the other Matilda has blonde hair. I have brown hair.
Mm.
And even the people on stage are like, what? What's happening? So, yeah.
Now, what you've just described there is probably most people's worst nightmare. People are, like, inordinately scared of standing up and speaking in front of people, you know, even one or two people in a room. But it sounds like you had no real preparation for that moment.
No.
Tell me, do you, you know, you're the normal Izella, and you're running around, you know, on the monkey bars doing all that kind of stuff. Do you slip into anything different as soon as you enter the stage? If that makes sense.
I don't really know what that means.
Okay, so Izella, the normal girl, do you take that part of you onto the stage, or do you become somebody else, like Matilda?
Right. Well, Matilda, if I'm talking about Matilda, there's normal Izella and Matilda, for example.
Hmm.
There's a part of Matilda which I can... a part of me which I have to bring on stage, for example, my loudness and stuff like that, because I'm really loud and I talk a lot. And then they're like, okay, bring that on stage with you, so to be loud so people can hear me. And then also Matilda, she's a bit cheeky at sometimes to put things right, and then I can be like that a bit. I can be like that a bit too. I'm a bit cheeky as well.
Okay, that's a really good description. So you not only in character, but you bring elements of yourself to the character too.
Yeah.
So if there's four Matildas, if I went to see all four shows, would I see different versions of Matilda then?
Well, we all do kind of like the same thing, but it's also not the same thing. Same thing, but not the same thing.
Yeah.
Because we all have our things that we do. Like one Matilda might say it this way, that... I might say another way, but it's still, like, the ways that we say it still sound, like, the same and, like, mean the same thing.
Mm.
And it can be funny and serious or stuff like that.
Okay, because that was one of my questions. Are you allowed to improvise at all? But you've kind of answered that question, that you are allowed to bring a little bit.
I would say we're allowed to, like, yeah, I would say not improvise. But, like, we're allowed to say, not the lines, like, how we would say it, how we, like, for example, maybe if the line was, like, I remember I would say it my own way, because there's this one line when I would say, Matilda says, and then she died, but I would say it, like, funny, like, and then she died, and then that would make the audience laugh, and then it would be really funny.
Now, the audience is something interesting as well, but before I ask you about that, I was also curious, have you ever just forgotten your lines and gone completely blank?
Let me think. I don't think I've ever, like, went completely blank on stage in forgetting my lines. I've never done that. But I remember when once someone forgot their lines and I had to cover up for them, and then I'm like, so I had to keep going on for them, because I've never, like, really had a mind blank on stage and, like, just forgotten them.
Yeah.
But I remember having to cover up for someone that forgot their lines.
Can you describe that in more detail?
Yeah, sure. So I just maybe tell this story.
Yes.
It's really short. So there was who plays the study of Mr. Trunchbull. And then he was like,
so he's a grown up then, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
Who should have known his lines.
He comes out and he's supposed to say like what is, I can't really remember the line, but something else, but instead he said, "What is your name?" And I'm like, so I didn't really know what to say, and I'm like, and I just said Matilda, and then afterwards, luckily, I gave him, like, a little idea, like, to say maybe, what is your full name?
Okay.
And then he said, what is your full name at the end, because he asked me my name, and then he said his full name.
Okay.
What is my full name? Matilda Wormwood.
Now, did he thank you profusely after the show for covering him?
Yes.
That's very cool.
Because he didn't know what to do in the middle. He was kind of just, like, stressing out, like, what do I do, what do I do?
Yeah, yeah. No, that's, again, another skill. And I think when us mere people go to stage performances, especially where you don't get a second chance, do you?
No.
If you get it wrong, that we have such high expectations, and where I think sometimes the audience can look with a lens that's waiting for something to happen. And I remember going to see, I think it was Dirty Dancing on Ice, which I don't know why that was ever a production in the first place, but you know, you just go and you just want to see people fall over on the ice, really.
Yeah.
And it does happen, especially when you go to the matinee performance.
Yeah, it does.
Now, Quiet is one of the main songs in the Matilda musical, and the little bit I know about you so far is that Quiet is not you. But did something happen in the audience during one of the performances when you sang that song?
Quiet.
Mm.
If something happened. Oh, yes. Whenever I sang Quiet, whenever any Matilda sang it, the whole audience would just go silent. But sometimes you could hear like little shit packets like crumbling and like people coughing. But like in, that's when you're singing like the "Have you ever wondered what I have?" like the fast part. And then when she sings Quiet, it all goes silent. The whole audience just, it's kind of just like a magical spell that just drifts through the whole audience.
Oh, well, you've just set yourself up for a magic Ray moment, because, Izella, quite often on the show, I do have people who all of a sudden, even we could be talking about something completely different from music, but they will talk about being able to sing. So right on the spot, I'll go do it right now. So when you just gave me that little snippet of Quiet, would you mind just singing for us just a few bars from Quiet?
Sure. So like the fast part, or just like the silent, quiet-y part?
Well, not the silent part, because we won't hear anything, but
okay.
Whatever bit you love.
Maybe I'll sing together. I'm quiet, like silence, but not really silent. Just that still sort of quiet, like the sound of a page being turned in a book, or a pause in a walk in the woods. There.
Oh, that's really beautiful. And the fact that you're singing that into a phone all the way from sunny Queensland, that sounded beautiful down here.
Thank you.
Are your school friends listening in, by the way?
No.
Oh, well, I have a couple of people that are listening in, and they phoned me this morning and they saw on Facebook that I was interviewing you, and they said, oh, we're so excited about hearing the show. And Gina and Robert, they're listening in, and both Gina is sight impaired. She's actually legally blind, but she can certainly listen, and she loves music more than anything in the world apart from me. And also Robert, who she lives with, he's a presenter here at 3WBC, and he's also sight and hearing impaired. But
wow.
Yeah, they both manage really, really well, and they're big fans of my show, and I just wanted to give them a shout out and tell them thank you for supporting my show, and also being very excited about listening to Izella today, because she's just great. Now, I get tongue-tied sometimes as well. Have you ever needed to sneeze or go to the toilet during a performance?
I've never needed to sneeze, but I've seen someone that has sneezed on stage, and I have needed to go to the toilet.
So what do you do? Do you just like, just...
I remember once it was in the scene when I had to, in Matilda, when I had to pretend to be at home.
Yeah.
So I was at home and then we, and then I really need to go. And I'm like, and then when interval happened, I just ran straight to the bathroom and my chaperone was just trying to chase me and saying, wait up, wait up.
Oh, I have the silliest questions, but I imagine that that would be an actual thing because you spend, what's the longest time you spend on stage without a break?
Oh, yeah, probably in the second half of the act in Matilda, I spend an hour without any break.
Oh, that's a long time.
On the stage in part two, yeah.
Mm, because you would have only been about 10 at the time, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I was 10.
Well, I wish when I was 10 or 11 I had as great a stories as you have to tell, although a little insight into me is, Ella, when I was 11 I had my first job at the local fish and chip shop.
Really?
I did. That was back in the days when you were allowed to work casually when you were 11 years old. You're not allowed to these days, but
no.
It was very character building. But do you remember the moment when you found out that you'd won the part of Matilda?
I do, and it's also on YouTube.
Is it? Well, do you know what? I found it.
Really?
And I played it, and I loved it. And do you mind if I play that again for our audience?
Yeah, sure.
I'm going to get it right this time. Technically, I'm going to be really cool. But this is the moment when Zella gets the call. Who's the call from?
Who was calling?
Who rang you up?
Oh, my children's manager.
Right. It sounds like that because she's from Australia. But anyway, listen in, people. This is a magical moment. Hang out. We'll be right back.
We had news from London earlier than we thought. So that's good news because we now know what's going to happen. And I thought I should call and tell you. Are you ready for the news?
Uh-huh.
If it's okay with you, and I hope you're not too upset, they would really like you to be a Matilda.
Of what role?
Matilda.
Yes! Yes, yes!
Don't throw your phone!
Pardon?
I'll tell them you said yes?
Yes.
Okay, that's great news. Welcome.
What the? Yes!
What do you have to say?
Thank you.
Oh, you are very welcome. Is Mum there?
Yes.
What a moment that was. All the thumping. The first thump was when she threw her phone on the floor. And the second one was jumping up and down in her bedroom. Had you just gotten out of bed or something, Isella?
Well, my brother has this exercise thing and then we like to do this. We did this exercise thing on his app.
Yeah.
And then afterwards I was just like really tired because we did at least like half an hour.
All right.
And then my mum was like, is that what you call me? And I'm like, yep, okay.
And that's when you got the phone?
Yeah.
Well, you could tell that was very, very spontaneous. And anyone that wants to look it up, just get on YouTube, type in Zella Connolly and Matilda and you'll find it. It's very, very cute. I think that's probably a moment in your life that you will never, ever forget.
I will never forget that.
Another unforgettable part about you or unbeatable part about you is your new debut single, which is unbeatable. And unless you're Michael Jackson, who released his first single, Ben, at age of 14, which is a lot older than you, not a lot of people can brag this kind of accomplishment at such an age, can they?
No, they can't.
So what was the reason, because, you know, it seems that typically your career is fairly based in on the stage and acting, I have seen you doing backflips as well on YouTube.
Yeah, I do a lot of acro.
Acro?
I love acro and gymnastics, and that's also a big part of me because in my spare time, instead of singing, I would go out on the grass and then do, like, tumbling, like, round off, back handspring, backflips, whatever. And I do acro lessons too.
Wow.
And yeah, I love acro.
So is that short for acrobatics?
Acrobatics, yeah.
I did have a little foray into trapeze a few years ago. It was only about 4 years ago. Yes. Wow. And I had a bit of an accident where I missed the catch and I broke all my fingers. And
oh, no.
I didn't go back, but I really enjoyed the thrill of trapeze. But, you know, you're very accomplished. And listening to your music as well, which you've incorporated a lot of your acro as well in your video clips.
Yeah.
Which is it's always handy. It's a bit very Kylie Minogue, is it? She was very good. So in terms of Unbeatable, tell me why you chose this song to record and then release as your first single.
Well, it's kind of got that power in it, which you can't miss. Like, you would, it's just got that bang to it. And once you hear that, you can kind of turn on and be like, I want to hear more about this person or something like that. So it's just got that power and that thing when it goes, I'm unbeatable. It's got, out of all my songs, it's got a lot of power and personality to it, yeah.
Yeah. And it sounds like you do as well, because when I dug up some quotes, some Izella quotes from the media, I'm going to read some of them out.
Okay.
Every day, I'm a girl on a mission. This is what you said. Bring it on. Put me to the test. I'm not afraid of competition. And finally, I guess I haven't found my limits yet. Does that sound like you?
Yes.
You did say all of those things, didn't you?
Yeah, in the song I say that.
Oh, okay. I just found them as quotes, but okay, I'm silly sometimes. I must have been very late last night. But in producing this, you've been hanging out with some pretty famous industry people in the making of Unbeatable, co-written by Michael J and Hadrian Vecido, and produced by Michael, who's done collaborations with acts like Kylie Minogue, Eminem, and Celine Dion. And you're also blessed with the opportunity in LA to work with Ichiaka, and I can't pronounce the rest of it, but he's the driving force behind Bruno Mars.
Yeah, Ichiro, yeah, Itchy.
Like, oh, you call him Itchy?
Yeah, call him Itchy.
Because you're mates.
Yeah.
Do you get starstruck at all?
Well, I mean, when I think about it, like, because normally I don't think about it and I'm like, yeah, that's kind of just normal, like normal, living a normal life. Mm. But then when I think about it, I'm like, wow, how many girls can have songwriters like that and be produced by these big stars that everyone knows about? And it's kind of, when I think about it, it's like, whoa, how have I achieved this all just at the age of 11?
Yeah. And I had a question around, you know, the entertainment industry and especially in the US and places like LA get a pretty bad rap for behaviour. And what was it like working with people like this in terms of how they cared for you through the process?
I mean, with like Itchy and Michael and stuff, it was like they were really friendly. They were really nice. Yeah, because they made it feel like, they made sure I wasn't nervous before I recorded and made sure when I was there I was all relaxed, and they were really fun to work with. But like sometimes, for example, like maybe when you're walking on the streets, you do see some silly people.
Yes, silly people all round. Good observation though, Izella. Mm. But going back to what we were just talking about, can you just walk us through what the process of recording an album or a song is like? Or what is the process? So, you know, you had to fly to LA to do this, I imagine.
Yeah, so
because you wouldn't have walked.
Yeah, I got the song.
Yeah. How did you get the song?
Well, Michael, we did this Skype call with my family and him, and he was like, okay, give me some ideas on what type of song you like, what style, what you want it to be about. I gave him some ideas. He wrote Unbeatable, which was a really good song. We were really happy with it. And then afterwards I learned it. We, in the break of just term one, and then in the Easter holidays, we went up to LA. We recorded it. Well, before we recorded it, I arrived there, and then we did some warm-ups, and then we ran through the song. We tested out the sound, and then we started recording. And yeah, by then I wasn't nervous. And it was really fun. So that's kind of the process of recording a song.
Sounds really easy. I reckon I might go home and do one myself. How long did that take, Isella?
How long? It took 3 hours because it was supposed to take like 4 or 5 hours or something, but I was beyond their expectations.
Oh, wow.
They even said that, yeah.
Well, do you know what? I'm going to give you a bit of an insight. You're way beyond my expectations today as well, because I interview a lot of people, hundreds of people on this show, and quite often people can be very nervous or not have a lot to say, but I would say in my top 10 of people, you're one of the easiest people I've interviewed so far.
Thank you.
And that's true. People say lots of great things about you as well. Mr. C from the United States of America, I read, he said, I've had this outstanding original on constant repeat. This is in relation to Unbeatable, by the way. Mm-hmm. And it literally gets better with every listen. Basically, Unbeatable is a piece of pop perfection aided by Isella's sweet, gentle vocal tones and addictive in-your-face lyrics. I found this introduction to be the perfect statement piece. Nothing is going to stop Isella Connolly from achieving her dream. How's that?
Oh, yeah, that's
doesn't
good.
Get much better than that. Now, let's take a listen to Unbeatable. I'm dying to hear it again on the air. I had a bit of a dance, by the way, Isella. It was absolute credit to you. Now, do you ever get sick of listening to it?
To be honest, sometimes, because one day I listened to it, like, nonstop, and then by the end of the day I'm like, nope. And my dad was like, okay, let's listen to it. I'm like, not today. I'm going.
Well, that makes sense. But there are other songs on the album, though, aren't there?
Yeah, yeah.
And when will they be released?
Well, there's another song, which I'm going to release. Pretty soon. Not pretty. I actually don't know exactly when I'm going to release the release dates, but my parents do.
Yeah, your people. You just call them your people. The people that work for you.
Oh, my parents.
Yes. Oh. Very lucky to have such great parents, by the way.
Yeah. but that's my dad's favourite song, the one that's going to be released next.
I think it's yours as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it's my favourite song. It's my second favourite song.
Hmm. Now, just quickly, and we'll repeat it before we get to the end of the show, but where can people buy Unbeatable?
Well, they can buy it on iTunes.
Yep.
They can get it on Spotify.
Yep.
And they can find it on YouTube, and my video clip is coming out very soon.
Oh, fantastic. Can't wait. Are you doing backflips in that?
Not in this one, because it's kind of, I wish I was, but
yeah,
in
me too.
My next song I am, because... Unbeatable, we've got like swimmers, runners, gymnasts, and there's already a gymnast, and I don't want to like be doing, because they'll kind of get confused, like, which, like, is this?
Right, what? Who are you? Are you the,
yeah.
Yeah, the main topic, or are you one of the crowd?
Yeah.
Getcha. Now, I want to let you know that I did purchase my copy of Unbeatable off iTunes last night.
Yay.
And so that will contribute to your popularity, no doubt. No doubt. It's something that I always do on my show, Isella, is when I have a guest on who has produced music. It's just very respectful that we don't take copies off YouTube or off the internet, that we do just give the respect to the artist that took the time and effort to make the music, that we spend that few dollars to purchase it. That's just a little bit of a shout out to everyone there. In music land. But well done, darling. That was superb.
Thank you.
Now, I have a bit of a quick quiz about some Isella stalking I did last night, but I need you to fill in some of the gaps for me.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to start with Slime, right? It's been around for decades. And do you have a relationship with Slime?
Slime, yes.
Tell me about it.
I love Slime. I make it all the time. I played with some last night. I played with my favourite one last night. But I love fluffy slime, and that one's a fluffy slime.
Mm.
And to make it fluffy, you put a lot of shaving cream in, and I put the rest of my shaving, my dad's shaving cream in, and then it became really, really fluffy.
So, when I was a kid, you'd buy it in this, like, green tub from Kmart, but you make it yourself?
I make it myself, yeah.
What's the recipe, apart from shaving cream?
My recipe, a lot of people use, like, different ones, but this is, like, the main one that I like using this, so I get... a bowl, obviously, and then I get Elmer's glue. My favourite is clear Elmer's glue. I put it in the bowl, and then after I get Dynamo, which is a washing detergent. I put some in there.
Oh, God.
Before Dynamo, I put water in there, hot water, and then Dynamo, and then some baking soda, and then some shaving cream, and it becomes slime.
That's amazing. That sounds like chemically it sounds quite dangerous. It doesn't like...
It does sound dangerous.
Yes, probably not for children under the age of, say, 11, I would think.
Well, a lot of, like, five-year-olds play with it, like, and make it at home. I've seen on YouTube. It's, like, a big trend right now.
But if it's got dynamo in it, you couldn't put it in your mouth, could you?
No.
No, and I don't know a five-year-old that doesn't stick everything in its mouth.
These days they're making, like, edible slime. Like, for example, I've made edible slime before. Mm. So...
Without the dynamo and the glue.
Without the dynamo, yeah. And I actually ate it because it's edible.
All right.
It's kind of also a trend now, edible slime.
Okay. What's the active ingredients in edible slime?
So what I did was I got some gummy bears. I emptied the whole packet into a bowl, and then you microwave it. You just melt it. You don't have to microwave it. And then that's kind of like your glue for it.
Yep.
And then you get corn flour and you mix that in, and that's basically it. And you knead it, and then you can play with it.
Okay.
And you can eat it.
Well, if you give up your day job, I'm sure you can probably get a career in science.
Yeah.
That sounds like your next port of call. Now, there's something going on with your left thumb. Tell us about that.
I actually figured out it's my left and right thumb now. I know. Oh. I never knew until 2 days ago.
What? What about it? Tell me what about it. Is it weird?
It's double jointed.
Wow. And only your thumbs?
Only my thumb.
And what special, I mean, that sounds pretty special, but has it got any benefit to that? Like, can you do special tricks or open cans better or something like that?
I mean, it's pretty easy for me to open cans. Like, a lot of girls are like, can you please open this? And I'm like, sure. And they're like, how did you do that? And I'm like, I don't know. Maybe. And I'm like, maybe it has something to do with my thumb.
You've got more flexibility.
Yeah.
You're also a very wise person for your age. You probably, in fact, looking at you at 2 and a half singing about jelly beans and making that up on the spot and getting angry with people about not cleaning their teeth, I think you were probably wise back then. But I read some of your words of wisdom as well, and here it goes. When in doubt, always get dessert that is bigger than your head. You said that.
I did?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Now, wow.
Is that a true thing, or you were just sort of mucking around on Facebook one night and thought, yeah, that sounds like?
Well, that sounds like me. I've said a lot of those things. Like, for example, free candy, free food tastes better, but always, you have to always remember, to get a dessert that's at least bigger than your head. Yeah.
Because you also said, asked your audience, what are your thoughts on having lollies for breakfast?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? My youngest little boy, he's 9, and his name's Rory, and he came home from his dad's this morning, and I had some tradesmen at my house, which meant all the electricity and gas was turned off.
Oh.
And he hadn't eaten anything for breakfast, and the only thing I could give him was a tube of Pringles.
Oh.
Is that bad?
He's lucky.
Is that bad parenting, do you think?
No.
Oh, cool.
It's good, excellent parenting.
Fantastic. Tick of approval from Brains Trust Isella. Hey, do you have any pets?
Yeah, I've got fish and one dog, which I got 2 days ago, I think, yeah.
2 days ago?
Yeah.
Wow, is that your first dog?
Mm-hmm, my first dog.
And tell us about your first dog.
He's really fun. We taught him how to do, like, a few things, like taking toys back to his bed. And, like, his name's Toffee. He's only 8 weeks old.
Is he toffee-coloured or does he just like eating toffee?
Yeah, he's,
Oh, is that the bell to go for lunch or something?
That's my bell. Oh, yeah. Dear. He's toffee-coloured.
Yeah.
He has got a bit of white on him as well. He's, like, white and toffee.
Yep.
So that's why we named him Toffee. It's a cute name, first of all. I chose the name, obviously, because candy.
Of course, because
it's a cute name. I like fruit names, yeah.
It sounds like it. There is a bit of a trend here. Do you think you'll ever write a song about candy, but you've already done that as well. 2 and a half, jelly beans.
Oh, yeah.
So we have a cat called Kevin, and he has 3 legs.
Do you legs, yeah. My friend's dog has three legs.
How come your friend's dog has three legs?
Well, her dad was driving home. The dog's name is Fetcher, and Fetcher didn't have a leash on when he was at the back of the truck, but Lily did, his sister, and then Fetcher fell off the truck, and then he had three legs. And then he had to get his leg off because, like, it was already kind of, like, ripped and it was all disgusting and stuff. So it was kind of, like, you wouldn't want to have a dog which just has this disgusting, like, leg or something.
Well, yeah.
So that's why.
Oh, and he's adapted okay?
Yeah, my mum didn't even notice. And then, because he walks fine, he doesn't even limp or anything. He's gotten so used to it. And my mom like, Mum, did you see it? And she goes, no. And I'm like, what? I told you. And I'm like, are you blind or something?
Well, animals are amazing at adapting, aren't they? They just straight away take on the world and they don't miss a beat. And sometimes us humans can get a little bit discombobulated when life changes. But you sound like one of those people who have an enormous capacity for many things. And a few people have been texting in with some questions for you. Somebody said, what is school like? How do you keep up with your schoolwork?
Sometimes it can be really hard for me to keep up with schoolwork, like, because in Matilda and Santa Music and stuff like that. Well, so for example, in Santa Music, my teacher sent me work and I had to complete it.
Mm.
While I was, like, there and stuff. But in Matilda, that was, like, the hard one because I was away from school. Like, it would be, like, 3 months away, back to school for a week. 3 months away, then again back to school for a week, and then another 3 months, and then back to school for a week, another 3 months. So so how that worked was we had tutors in the company.
Yep.
And all the kids would come in, and then we had our tutor. And then our tutor kept in contact with our teacher, our principal, our school. So it's all under control, yeah. It's not like I'm going to... Because I have missed quite a few schoolwork in.
Yeah.
But lucky, I'm not, like, dumb.
Well, yeah, I picked that up, that you're far from silly. But how does being away so much affect your friendships? I know you've got another three Matildas to be friends with. Perhaps. You might tell me about that. But what about your friends at school and, you know, around home? How does that affect those relationships when you're away so much?
Well, it's fine, actually, because, like, all my friends, like, when I'm back, they're like, oh, my gosh, Zelly, and they ask me all these questions. Even girls that aren't really my friends, they come to me and they're like, oh, my gosh, hi. Like, where did you go? Where did you – and then some will be like, oh, I thought you moved schools. Like, what? And then – it doesn't really change, obviously it changes things because, like, we're always on FaceTime and stuff.
Mm.
But, like, I wouldn't say it, like, affects it or, like, breaks it up or something like that.
Well, what about from the other side when you finish a production and you've been in a number of them? What I've heard in the entertainment industry is that it can become like a family, you know, because you're with each other so much. And then once the production is finished, then it all just goes away.
Yeah, so, like, for example, Matilda, it was really upsetting, like, because it just, you're in it, and then it's kind of like, what, how? Like, you've kind of, like, it's not, like, just friends, it's, like, a family now, and it's kind of like, then where have they gone, like, what? And then it kind of takes a bit of getting used to knowing that you're not going to do any more shows, or, like, it's really weird, I'm, like, a bit... How, after doing it for a year and a half, it's kind of just been a routine, getting up, doing a show, coming back, seeing my friends from there, and it's kind of a full-on routine, like, becomes a full-on routine, and sometimes I would ask them, like, wait, do I have it, when's my next show? I'd be like, oh, wait, no, never mind.
Yeah.
I'm not doing any more shows.
Yes, until the next one, of course, when you build a whole new family.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, can you believe that we've filled in the entire show, Izella, together? The whole hour has just gone. Thank you for coming on the show. You are a truly talented and charming young lady who made me look very good on air today through a few stumbles. So we're very, very blessed to have had you on the show, and hopefully you'll come back again.
Yeah, hopefully.
fantastic. I really do hope you do that. Good luck with everything, and I will certainly be following you. Please give us some feedback if you enjoyed the show, or even if you have some constructive feedback. You can look at me on Facebook. Just type in It's Okay to Not Be Okay with Ray Bonnie on Facebook, and you can find me at my YouTube channel, Ray Bonnie. For everyone else, you've been listening to Ray Bonnie, where it really is okay to not be okay. And remember, extending some kindness and care, you could be saving a life. So until I see you next week, take care.